Peace be with you. Friends, there's a passage buried in our first reading for this Sunday, which is one of the most important in the Bible. And it's very easy, by the way, to remember. It's Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Here it is. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jeremiah 31, 31. Look it up. Write it down. Put it as a screensaver on your computer. It's one of the most important passages in the Bible. Because God is presented in the Old Testament as a covenant maker. God forms a people, Israel, through a whole series of agreements, covenants, contracts, if you will. He made the first one with Noah, remember, after the flood. God assures Noah that his deepest intention is not the destruction of the earth, but life and renewal. He then makes a covenant with Abraham. He promises him that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky, than the grains of sand on the seashore. He forms his people, Israel. Abraham will be their father in faith, and they will be the people through whom God will save the world. He then made a covenant with Moses, by which he gave Moses the law, the Torah. He led the people out of captivity in Egypt, gave them the law which would identify them and it would form them. Remember that great scene when God gives the law and then Moses takes blood from sacrificed animals and he sprinkles some on the altar, he sprinkles the rest on the people, making a kind of blood covenant, a blood bond between the people and God. Finally, God makes a covenant with David. He assures David that one of his descendants will be the ruler of Israel, will be the great Messiah. In this process, God is gradually forming his people, shaping his people to make them holy, as I mentioned last week. In some ways, the law is like the process through which a kid comes to play a musical instrument. You give a kid a guitar or a trumpet or a flute, and then you give the child a whole set of laws. Here's how you hold the instrument. Here's how you blow into it, or here's how you play it. No, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. There's the right way to hold your fingers. Now, here's the music. Here's how you interpret the music. That's the right chord to play. No, don't do it that way. And you lure the child through a whole series of practices. Or a kid learns how to play a game, to play a sport. That's how you put the glove on in baseball. That's how you stand now to receive the ground ball. That's how you stand to hit properly. The laws are first extrinsic to the child. You see what I mean? They're outside. And the child has to adjust himself to the laws. They're awkward. They're difficult. Do you know any kid who takes like duck to water to piano practice or flute practice, or for that matter, to baseball practice? Most kids, given the opportunity, would love to skip practice because it's difficult getting a law into your system. But you know what happens? If the kid's persistent, if he has a certain amount of talent, the law eventually works its way into his body and mind and reflexes and instincts. Now, he's not thinking through his coach's instructions about how to stand. He goes out the shortstop, he just knows how to stand. He's not carefully rehearsing the moves of batting, he just knows how to bat. Or a child sits down, he's not laboriously going over the instructions of his music teacher, now he just starts playing the piano. Because the law has become written in him. It's not something outside that he's awkwardly conforming to. It's now part and parcel of his own life. So Israel was given a whole set of laws, of disciplines and traditions. Did they balk? Yes. Look up and down the Bible. This stiff-necked people, this stubborn, unfaithful people, they don't abide by the law. Just like a kid resisting piano practice, so the Israelites resisted the laws of God. Now, revisit Jeremiah 31:31. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. What will I do? I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. That's the moment I'm talking about. That's the moment when these laws become so internalized to the people that they live them spontaneously. Let me give you a very concrete example of this. I first picked up a golf club when I was about 18. A buddy of mine in college played golf, and he taught me a few of the rudiments of the game, how to hold the club and roughly how to swing. And I began playing golf then. Most summers I'd get out on a pretty regular basis. Not every week, but I played often enough. And I was lousy. I was probably in the bottom 25 of all golfers in the Chicago area. At the height of my powers as a golfer, I could break 100, you know, for 18 holes, which, if you don't know golf, is lousy. It's not very good. My problem was I always hit the ball to the right. So I would drive the ball, it would go into the woods. It would go into a pond, you know, it would go across the road. Then my second shot would also go to the right, usually to the adjacent fairway, you know. My point is, I was a terrible golfer. I liked it, you know, I enjoyed playing golf, I liked getting out, but I was just bad at it. Well, you know what happens? In golf, there's always people watching you. When you're playing, there's members of your foursome, there's people watching you. And if you're a bad golfer, you get very self-conscious about your swing. Well, that makes your swing even worse, because you're thinking about it too much. So soon, I began not just hitting to the right, I began, like, topping the ball, missing the ball, advancing it about 10 yards, which then made me even more embarrassed and more self-conscious, and then it got worse. Finally, I gave up. I said, this game is too hard, it's too embarrassing, it's not fun anymore. I gave up. I took my golf clubs out of the trunk of my car, where I kept them for years, and I put them in the back of a closet. That's it, I'm through with golf. Well, then, about a year ago, I was giving a talk, and in the audience was a great guy named John Lynch. John, in his younger days, was a pro golfer on the Asian Tour and the Canadian Tour. And all his life now, he's been involved in golf as a teacher, as a pro, and so on. So after the talk, he said to me, thanks, Father, for that talk, and anything I can do for you, just let me know. I said, yeah, there is. Give me golf lessons. And so he was nice enough to agree. And we've gone out now several times, and he's tried to teach me the right way to swing. I remember the first time I went out to this driving range at his club, and he said, okay, Father, just stand there and just swing. Hit the ball, and I'm going to watch your swing. So I did. I swung the club a couple times. And if his face could speak, he didn't say this, but if his face could speak, it would have said, where do I begin, you know, to correct this swing? Well, he began very gradually to do it. He's an excellent teacher. He gave me a couple of drills. He said, you know, like a lot of bad golfers, you kind of sway your hips too much. You have to stabilize the right side of your body. So he put two golf balls, I remember, under my right foot, so that when I would swing, I wouldn't sway. He then stood in front of me, and he said, now, just drop the club, pretend you're swinging, and then turn toward me and shake my hand. Turn toward me and shake my hand. What he was doing was making my body turn through the ball. Well, I began to get better. I began to hit the ball much more confidently and happily. I was enjoying the game of golf again. Just a couple of weeks ago, he said, now there's another drill I want to do. It's more difficult. This will be harder for you. But he said, your shoulders are not lined up right. Your hips are okay and your legs are okay, but your shoulders are kind of off kilter. So you got to move your shoulders back. And he put them in this position. And he said, now how's that feel? I said, well, I feel like Frankenstein. I feel like I can barely move. And you want me to swing the... Trust me. You're in the right position, swing the club. And so from that very awkward position, at least it felt that way to me, I swung the club, and the ball sailed out there. One of the best shots I've ever hit. Now, why am I telling about my golf game? Well, I think it's a very good metaphor for this idea of the law. When he first started teaching me, did I experience the law of golf as something very extrinsic? Well, yes, it was out there, and it was not natural to me at all. It felt very awkward. As he gave me these drills and exercises, well, it felt funny and odd, and I didn't know what to do with it. In time, these were placing moves in my body. Now, this last one was exceptionally difficult. It's exceptionally difficult. I felt very, almost painful to get in this position. But yet, that was the right position. Is the law sometimes painful? God's law, now I'm talking about. The commands of God, painful. Do they call for a major realignment of our lives? Yes, sometimes they do. Do we balk and resist? Yes, Israel's a stiff-necked people. We're a stiff-necked people. The law is still alien to us. But look, what's happening, I hope, in my golf game is that this law is getting written in me. That through his efforts, through John Lynch's efforts, the law of golf is getting written in my body so that now it's becoming natural to me. Not alien, not awkward, but natural to me. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. The long history of Israel is seen as this period of formation, this painful pedagogical period of formation. When will God plant this law in their hearts? When Christ, the divine law itself, is made flesh and comes among us. And now, at close quarters, as one of our own brothers, we can see the law of God on display, speaking and moving and acting and reacting. More to it, every week at the liturgy, we eat and drink this law of God made flesh so that Christ becomes bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We literally take within us the law of God. And in that process, the dream of Jeremiah is coming true. I will plant my law in your hearts, and now you will live spontaneously the way God wants you to live. Jeremiah's great dream, like a kid now playing the piano effortlessly, like someone swinging the golf club effortlessly. Jeremiah's dream comes true in Jesus Christ and in those who participate in him. God bless you.